Hello, and welcome to the Brothers of Tamriel podcast. I'm your host, Jay Rumberg, and I'm joined here by my brother, Mission Maniac. Here we will be covering all the basics of Elder Scrolls Online. We're going to talk anything from news to dungeon mechanics and even builds. We're going to cover everything from the beginner level to the veteran level and everything in between. So this will give you a good solid foundation of the understanding of the game. Hopefully this will help you succeed a little better. Sit back, relax, and enjoy while we delve into the world of Nern.
Oh boy. Welcome.
Wow.
Here we
what
are.
A week.
How have you been, my man?
I've been exhausted. Roughly 2,400 miles since Friday.
That's how far you've driven?
Yeah, I was in East Pennsylvania, I think about the time that we did the last podcast, and I'm now sitting in Las Vegas, and I have made a couple stops along the way.
Sin City.
Oh yeah, yeah. How about you? How you been?
Not too bad. Work's been all right. A little bit slow. Other than that, everything's good. Just kind of working and playing ESO and stuff like that.
No, really? What you been up to in game?
Well, I've still been taking care of my my daily quests for a couple different zones. So what I've been really focusing on the Battle Reeve Tannerline quests, the daily quests that you can receive in Rimmon and also in Alanor. That's kind of what I like to knock out of the way first. Well, after I do my writs, of course. Do your writs. Hashtag do your writs. Other than that, I'll do that, and then I'll knock out a couple BG dailies, and I did go out and do some regular old farming and a little bit of questing this last week. I was kind of getting into a PvE kind of mode, and I was wanting to hear some good storylines, so I just started questing, just doing some more zone completion, just burning through it, trying to do what I can. It's a never-ending process.
Oh yeah,
They keep putting content out. They don't give me time to do it all. They just keep putting it out.
Yeah. Every now and again, I get in that quest mood, and man, just blows you away with some of the writing that they do in this game.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's unbelievable.
I also have been questing. Because I have completely started over on PC.
Yes, you have.
So my 1,085 champion points on console, I don't get to utilize no more. I'm still playing on console a little bit, but I am more focused on PC. But yeah, I just finished, I finished Elsewhere, Somerset, and I'm about halfway through Vardenfell.
Oh, good. Vardenfell?
Oh, yeah. And it's, Vivek is getting sick again.
Oh man.
I know. Tears me up.
Every time.
Tears me up deep. We got a show to do, man.
Yeah, let's just dive right into it. So welcome everybody. We are the Brothers of Tamriel. I am Jay Rumberg. I'm joined here by my co-host, as always, Mission Maniac. Today we're gonna be it's a little bit of a later episode in the week, so we've got just some things that have gone on over the last week or two that we just want to touch on just a little bit. Diving into the news, we had the free play event for anyone that was wanting to dip their toes into the game. There's also the summer sale was going on, so you could buy the Elsewhere, the whole saga up to 50% off on the standard edition, and there was another sale for the Elsewhere too. And also, there was a Twitch Prime giveaway kind of promotion. That was kind of neat. If you got a unique pet and a, you got a mount and a pet, actually, two matching ponies is what you got.
Yeah, let's talk about that mount for a second. So, since I'm on PC now, I've seen that mount. And it's pretty cool. It's, you are familiar with the Rod Mothra mount, right? The one we got for Elsewhere, the kind of looks like a Drill Mothra kind of style. It's black with the blue stripes on it.
Yep, I'm looking at the mount that you get right now.
Yeah, it's essentially the same mount, except for now it has purple stripes instead of the blue. So yeah. it's still like kind of that Rod Mothra, Drill Mothra theme style horse, but with purple stripes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. Looks neat. So yeah, I'll just cover, get your hands on a unique Elder Scrolls Online pet and mount with this month-long Twitch Prime promotion. So this was for the month of August. Actually, this is running all the way until September 27th. Yeah, we're happy to announce all new exclusive Twitch Prime loot for just PC and Mac Elder Scrolls Online players, starting today and running until September 27th, 2019, Twitch Prime members can claim a unique Nowhere Steed and Nowhere Pony pet via Twitch.tv. So all you gotta do to claim it, step one, link your ESO and Twitch accounts, get Twitch Prime with Amazon Prime, and visit twitch.amazon.com/ESO and then click claim offer. And then all you gotta do is log into your ESO account and find your new mount and your pet in your collections menu. Note that once you have claimed your mount and your pet, you can find them both in both the North American and European servers. So if you are one of those folks that plays on each server, then you only got to claim them once and it'll go to each server. So while you're on twitch.tv, why not check out the ESO's community? You know, many Twitch streams out there, myself being one of them, twitch.tv/jrumberg. Mission is another one, twitch.tv/missionxxmaniac. While you're there, go ahead and stop by and check us out. Don't forget, this unique promotion is available now until September 27th, so don't wait to get your hands on these exotic new collectibles. So that's kind of what's going on with the Twitch Prime, the loot that you can get while you're on twitch.tv. So moving on, we've got meet the character was Celine came back for one of the dungeons, and she helps you fight, was it Marcelok? Is that the one she's in?
I'm not 100% sure. The only one it must be, because the only one I've done is Moongrave. Okay. I haven't done Marcelok yet.
Okay, so she's at least in that one. Maybe, I don't think she's in the other one, but here's a little bit about her. Woe be those who dare venture into Selene's web. Learn about the powerful shape-changing forest spirit in our latest Meet the Character. So go ahead and head on over to the ElderScrollsOnline.com forums, official forums, and you guys can check out all about Celine, if you guys are interested in that. It's a lengthy one, so be prepared for a light read. Moving on, like I was saying earlier, we were in our first episode, the audio from Mission was a little bit dicey, so we're gonna cover, we got an email from a fellow ESO player, and he was asking about some Magsork stuff. So we're just going to kind of reiterate a little bit of what we discussed on the first episode with the Magsork. We're going to dive in. His specific question was in regard to solo PvE. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Magsork. What kind of sets we might want to wear. And as you guys know, if you've been playing this game for any length of time, this is all perspective. This is all interchangeable. You can do whatever you want, play your game however you want. But we're just answering an email, and hopefully we can help you out. So we're going to hop into the passives of the Magsork, starting with the dark magic skill line. So the first passive, and this is going to assume that you have the two tier passives all the way across the board, that you have both skill points put into each passive. So Unholy Knowledge is our first passive, and this reduces the health, magicka, and stamina costs of your abilities by 6%. So that's a nice cost reduction, and you can put that in tandem with some sets to give you even more cost reduction. And it's always nice to take the reduction right off the top rather than the recovery, because if you're just reducing the cost, then you're not even having to worry about the recovery. So that's one thing nice about this passive. Next one up is Blood Magic. When you hit an enemy with a directly applied dark magic ability, you heal for 1389. This effect scales off your max health and can occur once every 0.5 seconds. So as you're casting your dark magic abilities that are directly applied, what that means is, you know, some targets are immune to, let's say, a soft CC within the dark magic line, such as Shattering Prison. So if you do get if you do CC them, though, and it is directly applied to them, you're going to heal for almost 1,400 straight to your health. So that's, it can happen every 0.5 seconds, so that is something that's pretty nice as you're just using your dark magic abilities. Next one up, we have Persistence. And this is one that I find really, really interesting. After blocking an attack, your next health, magic, or stamina ability costs 15% less. So what this is doing is incentivizing you to block. And there's no cooldown, there's nothing to it. All you do is block an attack, and your next ability has a 15% cost reduction. So add that up with our Unholy Knowledge passive, we're already sitting at 21% cost reduction, and that's after you block. So it's really nice. Block attack, that's kind of the incentive that it's trying to show you how to do here. Next one up is Exploitation. When you cast a dark magic ability, you grant minor prophecy to you and your group, increasing your spell crit by 1320 for 20 seconds. This is a really nice one. It's really nice to just start the fight out with minor prophecy. So like when I'm going into an ad pole or something like that, or a little mob, just a trash mob or something, just nail them with some kind of like Shattering Prison or Daedric Tomb, just something to soft CC them, and that'll give you your 20 seconds of minor prophecy. And not only to you, but it will also grant it to your whole group. So it's pretty nice to step into a fight and everybody has minor prophecy on them. Moving on, we're going to step into the Daedric Summoning skill line. First passive up here is Rebate. You restore 1,452 magicka when one of your Daedric summoning pets is killed or unsummoned. So what that means is if you have it, let's say you're going into a fight and you don't have a pet summoned, use a couple abilities, get your magicka down a little bit, and then summon your pet, you're going to take advantage of this passive by recovering 1,452 magicka. Another way to take advantage of this would be, because, you know, with all the trash mobs and stuff, your pets probably aren't going to die a whole lot. So you might be thinking, well, what's the purpose of this passive? Well, one way to utilize this is to only single bar one of your pets. So each time you're bar swapping, you're unsummoning your pet. So that's one, you know, one way to do it. Otherwise, your pet just has to die a whole bunch. Next one up is Power Stone. And this reduces the cost of your ultimate abilities by 15%. And that is really, really nice. And I think it is unique to the Magsork. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that this is the only class that gives you a 15% cost reduction to your ultimates. Mission, do you know of anything else? Any other class that does something like that?
Not off the top of my head. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think this is unique to the Sorcerer. So, moving on to Daedric Protection. This increases your health and stamina recovery by 20% while you have a Daedric summoning ability slotted. That is pretty nice. Nice little chunk of change to your stamina and your health just for having a Daedric summoning ability slotted, which means that you don't have to actually activate it. So that's kind of nice, just a nice 20% increase to your recoveries. Next one up is Expert Summoner. This increases your max health by 8% while you have a Daedric summoning pet active. So that is actually pretty nice. I really do like that. Because you can tell if you're wearing a set like Necropotence and you don't have a pet out, and then you pop your pet, you'll notice that your health and your magicka are no longer at 100%. They increase a little bit. So moving on to Storm Calling, the first passive we've got up here is Capacitor. This increases your magicka recovery by 10%. Just straight up, that's all it does. And so as you're kind of noticing from the other skill line, we're gaining 20% recovery with the Daedric summoning, and that is to your health and stamina. And with Capacitor on the Storm Calling line, you're getting a 10% magicka recovery increase. So that's pretty nice. You're getting increases to your recoveries kind of all over the place, and that's super, super beneficial. The more recovery you got, obviously, the higher your sustain is going to be. So next one up, we got Energize. This increases your physical and shock damage by 5%. That's pretty nice, and it incentivizes you to either use physical or shock damage. Next one up here is Amplitude. This increases your damage done against enemies by 1% for every 10% current health they have. So what that does is you will deal more damage to a target with higher health. So the more health they have, the more damage you're doing, up to 10% if they're at 100% health. So that kind of incentivizes, let's say, a group of Magsorks to attack the boss while they're at 100%, because they're going to be utilizing this passive and doing more damage than some other class may do, just for the sake of this one passive is what I'm talking about. Next one up we got here is Expert Mage. This increases your weapon and spell damage by 2% for each sorcerer ability slotted. So for any class ability that you guys have slotted, you are getting a 2% increase to your weapon and spell damage. That's pretty nice, because you're going to load up on class abilities anyways, so you're going to take advantage of this to sky's the limit here, up to six different abilities that you can slot, so you could potentially have a 12% increase to your spell and weapon damage. And that also incentivizes you to use your class abilities. So that's about all we've got for the passives for the Magsork. I'm not going to touch on to all of the active abilities, but to answer the in regard to our email that we received, I'm going to talk about a little bit about PvE, solo PvE for the Magsork. What abilities should I be running? What should I be doing? What kind of food buffs should I run? That sort of thing. So, diving right in, the way I've got my bar set up, number one, you're going to want to have your AoEs. And this is totally perspective based, obviously. You guys know this. You know the drill. You can choose whatever you want to choose, but you want your AoEs. So Blockade of Storms is in the destruction line, and that is the lightning version of it. So if you have a flame or ice staff equipped, then it changes the name, and it also changes the effect that it does. So Blockade of Storms and Liquid Lightning, that's what we got. Blockade of Storms, slam your staff down to create a storm barrier in front of you, dealing 1507 shock damage to enemies in the target area every 1 second. And here's the important part, setting concussed enemies off balance for 7 seconds. So, to concuss an enemy, that is an effect of the lightning, just of shock damage, and if they are concussed, they will become off balance while within this Blockade of Storms. So that's why I like to run it in the lightning form, because you do have that off balance thing to use, a little extra damage for those concussed enemies. Your Liquid Lightning, your other AoE, right within the class line right here, this is within the Storm Calling line, I do believe. Yes, it is. So, create a nexus of storm energy at the target location, which means that you can cast it wherever you want it. Some things like Blockade of Storms, they just slam your staff down and wherever you're facing, that's where it's going. Well, this one you can choose where you want to put it. So these numbers, the damage numbers, are going to definitely vary because of, you know, due to sets, champion points, and total allocation of skills and skill points and stuff like that. So create a nexus of storm energy at the target location, dealing 1603 shock damage to enemies in the area every 1 second for 12 seconds. That's a nice long AoE right there, 12 seconds long. And an ally standing within the nexus can activate the Conduit Synergy, dealing 8460 shock damage to the enemies around them. So that's a pretty nice one, and what's really nice about it is it has that little synergy. So that'll take care of most of your trash mobs right there, those two AoEs. And what I like to do, first thing up, let's say I'm doing a delve, solo in a delve. I come up to a group of enemies. What do I like to do? I like to throw down my Shattering Prison. And what that does is call forth Daedric Shards from the earth to immobilize enemies in front of you for 4 seconds. That is your soft CC. That's what you're going to want to be using to stop them in their tracks. Since you are a Magsork, you're going to want to hang back a little bit. So nail them with that. And in one of the passives that we were just discussing, after you hit them with this Shattering Prison, the soft CC, you will gain Minor Prophecy for 20 seconds, you and your group. So it's really nice to start the fight out with, you know, immobilizing the targets and buffing yourself a little bit with your crit. Another nice thing about this Shattering Prison, the shards deal 6527 magic damage when the effect ends. So if it lasts for 4 seconds, then boom, it pops and it deals just a little bit of damage. So that's kind of nice. I personally run, when I'm doing solo PvE, again, that's what we're talking about because that's what our email was about. I like to run the Matriarch, the Twilight Matriarch, because it's a nice little pet that'll take a little bit of aggro, take a little bit of heat off of you, and on top of that, it's got a nasty heal. It heals the hell out of you. So that'll help your survivability a whole bunch. And what that does is call on Azura to send a Twilight Matriarch to fight at your side. The Twilight Matriarch's zaps deal 1465 shock damage, and its kicks deal 1465 shock damage. Once summoned, this is the Matriarch, keep in mind, you can activate the Twilight Matriarch's special ability, causing it to heal the Matriarch and up to two other friendly targets for 8,858 health. The Twilight Matriarch remains until killed or unsummoned, just like your other ones. And by unsummoned, we mean either go into your character sheet and remove the effect, or only single bar it and swap bars. That's how you're going to unsummon it. So I really do like running the Matriarch. It's nice. It's a good little heal for when you're out there by yourself and, you know, you don't have a healer or anything to rely on. You got to rely on your own heals and be a little more self-sufficient. What else do I like to run here? I do like running Endless Fury. So again, we're talking about me going through a delve, let's say. You call down lightning to strike an enemy, dealing 3,277 shock damage. And here's the kicker. If the enemy falls to or below 20% health within 4 seconds of being struck, an explosion deals an additional 11,632 shock damage to them and 2,684 shock damage to other enemies nearby. And if any enemy is killed within 5 seconds of being hit with this, you restore 4,860 magicka. That's a really, really nice ability. Endless Fury, there's the other morph of it. But this one, it restores your magicka when you kill an enemy. So it's really nice when you're going through some solo PvE stuff and you zap them with this Endless Fury and you start to restore all your magicka back. Next skill up that I like to throw on my bar is Crystal Frag. Conjure dark crystals to bombard an enemy, dealing 11,403 magic damage. Casting any other magicka ability has a 35% chance of causing your next Crystal Frag to be instant, dealing 33% more damage and cost 50% less. So really the only time when people are talking about hard casting abilities, this is one that always gets thrown into that conversation. Crystal Frag, don't hard cast Crystal Frag. You hear it all the time. So what does that mean? Well, you use your other magicka abilities and you have a 35% chance to proc the Crystal Frag, which you'll get a little prompt. The color of the ability will change. You'll get some purple hands, and you'll even hear a little sound. So you'll be notified when it's procced and when that has taken effect, and you're ready to throw that instantly with a 50% cost reduction and a 33% increase to the damage. It's really nice, and that's when you want to use it. That's really the only time you want to use it, because you're wasting magicka without having that proc'd. It has a cast time too, so you always want to use that when it's proc'd. So for my ultimate, I like to use the Mage's Guild ultimate, the Meteor. Right now I have Ice Comet equipped because I was doing some PvP earlier, but this is what the Ice Comet does. Call a comet down from the constellations to blast an enemy, dealing 17,754 frost damage to all enemies in the area, knocking them down and stunning them for 2 seconds and reducing their movement speed by 50% for 5 seconds. After impact, enemies in the target area take 4,965 frost damage every 1 second for 11 seconds. So not only does it have a nice initial hit, initial pop, 17k, it slows them down by 50%, stuns them for 2 seconds, knocks them down. It's the works. It does it all. And then even after impact, it's got a nice little dot effect within that target area for 11 seconds. So that's a pretty nice ultimate. I would recommend using that. It's not too single target, like, let's say, Soul Assault. That one, that's single target. This one, it'll benefit you more in solo PvE content. So, my other bar here, which I kind of talked a little bit, I do double bar the Matriarch. That way, I'm not worrying about unsummoning my Matriarch, and I have always got my heal. I gotta run Power Surge, and the reason I run that is, number one, it's a great heal. Number two, you get that your major buff. So here's what it does: invoke Meridia's name to gain major brutality and major sorcery, increasing your weapon damage and spell damage by 20% for 33 seconds. That is a really, really long major buff. 33 seconds is a really long time, so that's like a no-brainer. While active, activating a critical heal causes the ability to heal you and your allies around you for 2677 health. This effect can occur once every 3 seconds. So that's there's your major brutality, major sorcery buff right there. That's what you're going to want to be running. And my last active ability that I like to run for solo PvE content is something like it. This is my flex spot right here. I will either run Streak just to scoot around a little quicker, and it's got a nice little stun, or I'll drop some mines down. I'll use Daedric Tomb. So it's totally up to you, and you don't even have to use those two, but for solo PvE stuff, here's what the Daedric Tomb does. Surprise your foes by placing 3 volatile Daedric Mines at a target location, which arm instantly. That's the big draw for me, because the other one, it takes them a second to arm. And these last for 30 seconds, so that's really nice. So if you got a whole mob of, you know, a whole crowd of doo-doo coming at you, you just drop these down and it'll immobilize them. When a mine is triggered, it explodes, dealing 8,475 magic damage and immobilizing the enemy for 2 seconds. So there's another soft CC right there, folks. And it does a really nice amount of damage. 8,475 damage. That'll stop them in their tracks. So I'll either run that as my last active, or I will run Streak, which transform yourself into pure energy and flash forward, dealing 5,415 shock damage to enemies in your wake and stunning them for 3 seconds. So it's not a huge stun, but I mean, it is a 3-second stun. It's really nice because it'll hit everybody all at once. That's what I really like about it. And this effect cannot be blocked, but casting it again within 4 seconds costs 33% more magicka. So if you just sit there and spam Streak after Streak after Streak, it's going to get increasingly more and more expensive to use. It'll cost more and more magicka. So you don't want to sit there and spam it. You hit it, look at your timer, wait for your timer to run down, hit it again, do that kind of thing. That's how you get the most out of it. And for my final ability is my ultimate on my back bar. Solo PvE, of course, I like to run, I'm a vampire, I like to run Devouring Swarm. Because this darken the sky with a cloud of bats, dealing 5,000 54 magic damage to nearby enemies every 1 second for 7 seconds. So that's a good amount of damage. And the bats heal you for 2,044 health for each enemy they damage. So that's a really nice ultimate just to put the damage out and also heal you. And that's kind of like, that's what I usually run when I'm doing solo PvE stuff. I might change a few things here and there, but for the most part, that's like, that's what I like to do. I do like, if I run Shattering Prison on one bar, I'll run Streak on the other bar. That way I've got one soft CC and I've got one hard CC, a stun and an immobilize. It's really nice to have the two because you can't sit there and stun after stun. There is a cooldown on it, but you can immobilize a whole bunch and stun at the same time, and it really... I like that in PvP also, where you immobilize somebody, stun them, and make them just break free like crazy and waste their resources. Moving on, what kind of gear do I like to run while I'm doing solo PvE on my mag sorc? Well, lately I have been running a max magicka build where I don't really care too much about anything but the most magicka possible is the way I'm doing this. So I'm running Crafty Alphique set, I'm running Valken Scoria monster set, and I'm running Necropotence with my Matriarch that gives me a ton of magicka. So let's just take a peek here after I got my Matriarch out and I've got my food buff running. I have 50k health, or 50k magicka, excuse me, not health. And my recovery is above 1,000, it's 1,200. And my spell damage is, when I have my major sorcery going, is 2,200. So it's not huge, but you're doing solo PvE stuff, so it doesn't have to be huge. And I like that gigantic resource pool of 50k for your magicka because you don't run out, you have higher sustain, you're able to take on those world bosses by yourself without running out of resources right away or anything like that. It's just really, really nice to have a nice thick pool of resources. Mission, you got anything to add to that?
No, not really. I mean, whenever I was playing the Mag Sorc, I basically did the same thing. I didn't go with as much resource. I would run Necropotence for sure, but I would also run Mother Sorrow just so I had a little damage output.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yep. Like I said, this is all perspective based. You can do whatever you want. This is just, here's a starting point for you to answer that email that we got. So, yeah, that's the solo PvE mag sort. Moving on, we've got, what dungeons do we have for this week, Mission?
We are jumping in. Actually, you know what, before we jump into that, so with Scalebreaker releasing, rotations and bars for your dungeon and trial setups have changed a little bit. We're utilizing a little more like Mage's Guild abilities and Fighter's Guild abilities, putting Fighter's Guild abilities even down on Magicka characters.
Yeah, I've been noticing that. I've been seeing that in the latest build or rotations and stuff that are coming out.
Yeah, so real quick before we jump into the dungeon, so the Mag Sorc, since the audio was a little goofed up on the first episode, we're going to keep the same stuff, Sororias and Mother Sorrow, but the rotation on the Mag's work has changed a little bit, and this is, like we've said before, this is more or less for your mid-maxing, in-game kind of dungeon and trial setups. you're going to run, going back to running Mage's Guild stuff, you're actually going to run that Fire Rune, I think is what it's called. Or Scalding Rune, sorry. I think Fire Rune is the base morph. You're going to morph it into Scalding Rune. Destructive Reach is another one we're throwing in there. That's another new thing with Scalebreakers. There's no more spammables. This is, we're doing almost a full rotation now, with literally just, you know, going through ability and then just starting over and not doing your AoEs dot spammable anymore. And we're going to run, you can either run Channeled Accelerate or you can run that, I think it's Barbed Trap now on the Scalebreaker patch. And if you're going to run Barb Trap, just make sure you kind of fiddle with it to put it into your rotation. You should only have to put it down every other rotation. So just kind of toy with that a little bit. And as far as the rotation goes for the mag sorc, this is, again, you know, you can dive in a little bit deeper, find different rotations. I always like to use Alcast's website to start. That's where, because Alcast does put some really simple or simplified static rotations out there. And so with the mag sorc, we're going to start off with elemental block, that's another change. We're no longer using elemental blockade, we're using unstable wall of elements. So you start off with wall of elements, light attack, Daedric Prey, weapon swap, scalding rune, destructive reach, degeneration, which is also from the Mage's Guild, hit your pet, scalding rune, bar swap, and start over. Now, crystal frag is still in this rotation, so make sure you hit that baby when it pops, because it hits hard.
Oh yeah.
And that's gonna really up your DPS. And if you are using Channeled Accelerate, you want to watch the timer for it. So even if you have to just pop it without being in combat, so you can see what the icon is for the console players, you can go ahead and pop it, look what the icon looks like, that way you know what your actual Channeled Accelerate timer looks like for you guys, and make sure you reapply that when it falls off. Alcast does say that it's generally once every fourth rotation or so. But yeah, I mean, that's really all I wanted to do. I just wanted to recover the mag sorc rotation real quick. And yeah, we'll jump right into Darkshade 2.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. Finally getting into some toughies.
Yeah.
Okay, so Darkshade 2. It's, you know, this one's not bad. It's a fun dungeon. It can be difficult. I'm not going over the, screw it. We'll go over all the bosses. So, we'll just jump right on in here. The Fallen Foreman. This guy, nothing crazy. He's got some adds. He does cast a slow but high damage spell. Focus on the adds, obviously, first. Interrupt the boss's spell, which the tank should be there getting that done. The boss also does it's such an annoying ability. It's almost like a over exaggerated Zahn's ability, where a conal spray of fire will come out and the boss is just gonna sit there and do circles. And if you are in that, it's not the initial damage that hurts, it's the stacks. If you keep staying in it, or if you think that you can just stand in it because you think you got a god mode DPS, you're gonna die. Because it will stack up and it will hurt. But for the most part, just walk around it and burn that boss down. Second boss we got is the Transmuted Hive Lord. This guy does a heavy attack which knocks down. Tank, make sure you block the big scary hits, you know, make sure you block your heavy attacks. There are two adds that fight alongside this disgusting creature. they can knock you down, and they can actually knock you, they can actually drain your stamina too. So in this particular fight, you've got two choices. You can either ignore the ads and focus on the boss, or you can kill the ads and then attack the boss. The way that I've always done it is I don't even mess with those ads. I just go straight for the boss. You do have a transmuted Ayla that you have to fight, which is just a mini boss, and we're not even going to cover that because y'all got that. The next boss, oh, he's probably the most annoying. So I think we mentioned this a little bit last week on Darkshade 1 about Grobel.
Oh, yeah.
So Grobel and Darkshade 1, piece of cake. Grobel and Darkshade 2, very annoying. So what he does is he teleports all over the place. I mean, just nonstop teleporting. So for you Magicka guys, your AoEs, you might as well just focus them on the ads, because Grobel is going to spawn a bunch of little baby Grobels, and you're going to have to kill them. And I'm not 100% sure if the waves in which Grobel falls, because Grobel is invincible until he hits the ground, so any projectile you shoot at him is just going to come right back to you. You basically can't really hurt him while he's in the air, until he falls down. Now, when he falls down to the ground, that's your DPS test. That is a, if you don't want to be there for a half hour, you got to put a big burn on him, drop your AoEs, save your ulties until he drops. But he does do this ability while he's in the air, where he will, like, suck you in and stun you. And he does that because the next ability he does right after he does that is his one shot, which is an AoE, and it's just like a burst of lightning bolts that come down. And if you're in that, it's going to get you.
You're going to die.
Yeah, you're going to die. But yeah, like I was saying, I don't know for sure. The waves in which Grobel falls, I don't know if it's a particular number of waves of mini Grobels that you have to kill, or if it's just percentage. But it's just, it's such an annoying fight, because it feels like it goes on forever. But you guys should be fine with them. It's nothing too crazy. Now, you'll move on and you'll go up the hill and to the left, like you're going to the last boss on Darkshade 1. When you get across that creek or that river, whatever you want to call it, you've got a massive wave of dwarven spiders and some Tyrons that you have to kill. Or not Centurions, sorry. Oh yeah, there are Centurions and there are Spheres. And it's a big wave of ads. It's more or less, the easiest way to do this is to have the tank pull sections at a time. So make sure the group, make sure you guys don't get too close to the next section. And just, they're just ads. They're nothing crazy except for the Centurions do hit pretty hard, but and the spheres have that little whirlwind heavy attack, but it's nothing crazy. The only thing that I have noticed with this the past couple times I have done Darkshade 2 is for some reason it waits until you only have like 4 or 5 ads left and it resets and you gotta do it all over again. And we don't know, I don't know if it's a bug on console or what the case may be, but it's super annoying when you have to redo that 2 or 3 times, because it's a big ad pull. But that's basically all it is an ad pull. So just, have your tank CC stuff, burn it down, AoE, blah, 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 the usual. So now we're moving on to the Engine Guardian, which is the last boss in Darkshade 2. He has 3 phases. He has a fire phase, a poison phase, and a lightning phase. The fire phase is kind of gives you a little bit of like the first boss. He will be blasting fire from his face and trying to kill you, and he does make circles while blasting said fire. The lightning phase is basically kind of if you have done normal Maelstrom or VMA, it's kind of like the spider in there where the lightning just kind of strikes at you in a sense, And then the poison phase is probably the hardest phase. The poison phase, your screen is going to turn kind of green, and you're going to start taking heavy amounts of poison damage. Now, in the center of the room, to get the poison to stop, there are four levers that you have to pull. You have to pull all four of them to get the poison to stop. Other than that, it's kind of a slow rolling fight, because the spider, the engine guardian, he's constantly moving. He does drop down for a second, like when he's about to switch phases, but that's it. Otherwise, he's still walking around. He just basically walks circles around the board that you're in. Getting this knocked out on hard mode. This one has, you can do this without a healer, but if you're going to try it, you better have good heals, and you better have the resources to heal yourself, because if you're going after that no-death speedrun hard mode, you're going to need to stay alive. Me and J-Rum, we're, I guess if you want to say, classic players. We like playing with real roles, you know, we like having a tank, two DPS, and a healer, so we always do stuff with a healer. But in order to get this baby knocked out on hard mode, all you have to do is not pull the levers in the center of the room. So basically, once he goes into poison phase, what we like to do is everybody stacks on the healer. I mean, the tank is fine because he's a tank, he's fine. But DPS, just stack on your healer, and your healer can or should be able to keep you alive during the poison phase. Once you get this all done, and you get your monster set, you get the Engine Guardian monster set, which is, in my opinion, it's a very, very fun monster set. It is a proc set that it returns resources, which is pretty cool. As soon as this thing stops being goofy, I want to be able to actually read you guys exactly what it does instead of giving you my summary of what it does, just in case I get it wrong.
Yeah.
But like I said, I have used this. I've used this in PvP. I've used it in PvE. Tanks. I have seen tanks using it. It's a pretty cool set. So the one piece, which is the helmet that you're gonna get. One piece adds 129 health recovery, and then the two piece set, when you use an ability, this is any ability. Nothing specific, and it's any ability. You have a 10% chance to summon a Dwemer automation to restore 1162 health, stamina, or magicka every half second for 6.5 seconds. So basically, when you get this thing to proc, whatever it gives you, which is the one downside to this monster set, is the health, stamina, or magicka. It is completely random. And there are times where it gives you the thing that you don't need. but when it does work the way that you want it to, and RNGesus is on your side, whatever it is giving you, if you're running low on health and it procs the health one, you're not going to die. If you're running low on stamina and it procs the stamina, you just go ham. And same thing with magic. I mean, it's 1162 every half a second for 6.5 seconds. That is insane amounts of resources coming back to you.
Yeah, that's huge.
I mean, yeah, you're not gonna run out of any of that. And that pretty much covers Darkshade 2. It's a really fun dungeon. The shoulder does drop out of old Maj Al-Ragoth's chest. Which now, with the Scalebreaker being out, pretty much get almost any shoulder you want, really. I don't know. Have you checked that out yet, J-Rum?
No, I haven't really farted around with that at all, because I've got everything I need as of right
so
now.
It costs 5 keys to get, they're just like those coffers you can get in Cyrodiil.
Yeah.
You know, for like the Overland sets. It's just like that. You, a week ago or so, I needed a different Zahn's shoulder. So I hit up good old Urgalog, old Gargle Ball Chief Bane, and it was, I think it was 5 keys if I remember right, and you just select the Dragon Bones coffer, and I think I only had to do it twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it did, all it gave me was throw Vakin and Zons. That's all it gave me. I was just being picky, looking for the right weight and the right tree. I might have done it 3 times, but yeah, it was, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's a show. You got anything else to throw out there?
No, we just kind of wanted to touch base on the Mag Sork one more time and kind of cover some different ideas of how to do some solo PvE, just to kind of recap. And I think we got her. I think that's a good stopping point. We're approaching this 1 hour mark, so.
Giggity giggity. Thanks. Thanks for listening, as always. We want to hear from you. Brothers of Tamriel Podcast at gmail.com. J-Rum, where can they find you at?
Oh, they can find me in game. My gamer tag on Xbox is J-Rumberg. You can find me on Twitter at Jeff Another Shot. Also, follow the podcast, which is at Brothers of Tam. And you can find me on Twitch. I'm on twitch.tv/JRumberg. I'm pretty much J Rumberg everywhere. So you guys can pop on over. I stream a few times a week. I like to stream in the afternoon. I get off work at like 2 o'clock, so by usually 3 or 4 I'm streaming. And yeah, come on, pop over and say hello.
Yeah, Central Time too.
Central Time, yes, yes. Where can they find you, Mission?
Pretty much everything Mission XX Maniac. That is my gamer tag. That is my user ID on PC. That is my Twitter at Mission XX Maniac. And my Twitch is twitch.tv/MissionXXManiac. We are on Apple now. We are on Apple Podcasts. And we really, really would dig some reviews. We want to hear from you guys really bad. We've got 2 reviews on Apple Podcasts. Only one person left a remark, which it's actually one of our in-game buddies, Lil Jordy. And he did say, "This podcast is lit," which sounds like Jordy.
I didn't even see that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. He gave us a 5-star review. We got 2 5-star reviews in there.
Awesome.
And we got that email from Mr. Poe. So yeah, we do want to keep hearing from you guys. Keep them. I mean, you guys blow us up. I don't care. We want to hear from you guys. Criticism, ideas, you know, anything. Maybe there's a build that we went over that you guys don't agree with. And what's your build? You know, let's hear them.
Yeah, we want to hear from you guys, no matter what. Other than that,
I think that's a show, brother.
Yeah, we'll let these good people go with that. You guys be safe out there. It's a dangerous world. And any last words, Mission?
Oh yeah, my usual. Travel safe, fight hard.
All right, have a good one, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah.